This morning, we're going to talk about fear. How many of us have something we fear in life? Might be fear of flying. Could be fear of snakes. I can't stand them creatures. Slimy little things, no legs, this doesn't make right. Some of us have a fear of heights. Some might say, I have fear of right now doing this. But God removed that fear from me. But I do have a fear of heights. And I'll tell you a little story about my fear of heights. I do not like to go off the ground more than 6 feet. I'm 6 feet tall. That's where I like to stop. So 5 years ago in February of 2015, I had about an 8 to 10 inch ice jam build up on the back of my house. And it was leaking through my roof and going into my son's bedroom. And I knew I had to do something about it. So instead of me overcoming my fear and going up there and doing it myself, I call Pastor. And Pastor being Pastor, he immediately came over, hopped on the front of the roof, went over to the back of the roof. I'm like, why didn't I think of that? I'm in the backyard looking up, and he's like, you coming up? I'm like, no. No, thank you. But I knew I needed to be up there because it wasn't right for me to be safe while he's up there breaking off the ice. So before I put the ladder up against the house, I took snow. We probably had a foot and a half of snow on the ground at the time. I put snow and I put it in a pile. And I looked up on the roof and I looked down at the pile and I said, okay, if I go down, I'm going to hit this pile of snow. So I went up on the roof. And he'd been up there for a few minutes because it took me a few minutes to get up a 20-foot ladder. I was stalling, okay? So I get to the top. Now my roof on the backside is 20 feet high. Again, I'm 6 feet, so now I'm 26 feet off the ground. Not liking this at all. He's just up there banging away, chopping ice. I take this hammer up with me. I put my left foot forward, my right foot back. I lean back. I put my right hand down to balance myself on the roof. And I take my left hand and I just do this. Not doing much to the ice at all. My hammer breaks. Yay! Here's my escape clause out. I was only up there for 3 minutes, but it seemed like a lifetime to me. It wasn't because of the cold temperatures. It was probably 10 to 12 degrees with wind chill of sub-zero that day that I was paralyzed. I was paralyzed from the fear that I had of being up on that roof. God talks about fear. God tells us how we can overcome fear in his word. And I'm going to share with you guys my favorite verse, which is Isaiah 41:10. And they're going to bring this verse up. And I can tell you the first time I heard this verse. I heard this verse in the spring of 1998, before I got saved. I couldn't tell you what the message was about that Sunday. I couldn't tell you anything else that Sunday other than when that preacher read this verse and how this verse impacted me. Because I lived a life of fear. I feared everything. God tells us we don't need to be that way. And if you turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 41:10, and if you have any fear, I encourage you to come to this verse. The first two words of this verse, God starts off with, fear not. Fear not. That's a commandment. That's not anything short of a commandment. God is telling you, fear not. The definition of fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and is likely to cause pain or a threat to us. Pretty much sums up fear, right? God tells us, fear not. A commandment. He then continues with the next five words, for I am with you. So we've gone from the commandment of fear not to a promise from God who says, for I am with you. Now, I didn't give the sound booth this verse, but if you want proof of what God says about being with you, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 31:6. In the last few words of that verse, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise. He's telling us again in verse 41, for I am with you. He will never leave us nor forsake us. God continues on this verse, be not dismayed. Dismayed is defined as feeling of distress. So when we're in fear, how do we feel? In distress. God is telling us, don't be. He used that word dismay earlier in the Old Testament. If you would, turn to Joshua 1:9. I'm old school. I have a Bible and written notes. Because technology and me do not get along, I have been known to delete things when I did not want to. Can you guys bring up Joshua 1:9? Thank you. Joshua 1:9 reads, God says, have I not commanded you? Again, he's commanding us, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Well, you can take the word afraid and you can put it in fear. He's given us a commandment. Do not be afraid. He continues, for the Lord your God, nor be dismayed. Again, he uses the word dismayed, distress. For the Lord your God, he's identifying the relationship that we have with him through Jesus Christ. We can't call Lord God our Lord until we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We have to know Jesus the Son and know God the Father. And he finishes the verse with, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Back to 41:10, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. He's pretty much repeating what he said in Joshua 1:9. God knows that we have fears. And this is why he keeps reminding us that we should not. I did an internet search of fear and how many times it's mentioned in the Bible. And it kept saying, every internet search I came up with said it's mentioned 366 times. I don't know how true that is. When I read the Bible, I didn't sit there and highlight every time. But if it is true, it's interesting because it covers each day of the year. Something maybe you guys could search out. For I am your God, back on Isaiah 41:10. I will strengthen you. It's not by our strength that we overcome fear. It's only through God that we can overcome it. Yes, I will help you. He doesn't say, yes, I might help you or could help you. He says, I will help you. And then God continues, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God's telling us that he's going to uphold us. And if you would, just go two more verses to Isaiah 41:13. Because again, two verses later, he pretty much repeats what he said in 41:10. He goes, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand. Now God is physically taking our right hand. How much comfort have you felt in a time of fear and someone takes your hand and it gives you a peace? That's what God does for us. The New Testament, Jesus said, I give you a peace and an understanding, a peace that's beyond all understanding. And that's what God's telling us here. He'll take us by by our right hand. Saying to you, again, God has a commandment, fear not. I will help you. We should be running to God during our times of fear, not running away from him. We should be using God as a refuge. And a refuge is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit of danger or trouble. David did this. David in Psalm 46:1. We're going to read a lot of verses today. Uplifting, powerful verses of how amazing our God truly is. Because in times of fear, we can sometimes forget that. So if you would have turned to Psalm 46:1, David, in Psalm 46:1, reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We should be running to God as a refuge. Think of a refugee who's leaving a war-torn country. Why are they going to another country? To seek safety, to seek shelter, to seek protection. That's the same as what Christians should be doing. We should be using God as a refuge, to run to Him, to seek His shelter, for Him to uphold us in His righteous right hand, for Him to take us by our right hand. David used other names to describe God that we should as well. Psalm 18, we're going to read verses 1 and 2, and we're going to break down these verses. David starts off with four powerful words in the first verse of Psalm 18. I will love you. That is his declaration, his praise and his worship to God the Father, that he will love him. Think about what David went through. David was seeked out by his enemies to be killed and destroyed. He was seeked out by King Saul to be killed. Think of David facing Goliath. And yet, God delivered him. How many of us can praise God when we're going through difficult times? How many of us could say, thank you, Lord, when we lose our job, or one of us gets sick, or if we lose a loved one? It's not easy. David lived out James 1:2, where James 1:2 says that we should take joy in our trials and tribulations. Joy isn't smiling from ear to ear like, ha ha, thank you. Joy is saying, Lord, thank you for getting me through. Joy is a relationship that we have with Christ. And the only way we can obtain joy is knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. David continues in verse 2. The Lord is my rock. Now, David here wasn't talking about a pebble, a little stone that you find out in the parking lot. David's talking about a rock, a boulder, something that is not movable by man. And I found this definition online where the web page that I was on broke down rock, and it says a large rock is a solid and strong, just like the Lord. Think about a massive outcropping, the rocks that are on the side of mountains. They're immovable. Thus, so is God. God is as strong and as powerful as those outcroppings on the side of the mountain. A rock is safety and protection. Think of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So if we build our foundation on the rock, which is God, we can sustain anything. Anything. Just like David did. And if you look back in verse 1, he says, I will love you. He is praising God for delivering him from his enemies. David continues in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. How many of you guys as young children built forts out in the woods? get the trees together, you get some couple of plywoods together, and you build a fort, right? We've all been there. We've all done it. What happens to that fort? It collapses. High winds come through, rain comes through, whatever. It falls. How many of you built a fort out of couch cushions as a kid? It usually was stood until mom came and took it down. The fortress that David's referring to here does not fall, does not crumble, is not defeated, period. Deliverer, the one who made a way of escape. That's what God did for David. He made a way for David to escape his enemies. Just like Jesus made the way for us to escape our sin. He delivered us from that when he died on the cross. And he took up all of the world's sins on his shoulders. He's our deliverer. David continues, my God, my strength. He's not indicating that it was his strength that got him through this. He's indicating the origin of his strength was God. Because he knew without God he wasn't going to get through all the trials and tribulations that he was going to face. I will trust. Key to our relationship with Christ is trust. We trust Jesus to forgive us of our sins. We trust Jesus to give us heaven when we've accepted him. But do we trust him in every avenue and aspect of our life? We have to. I will trust my shield in the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Think of a shield. What does a shield do? A shield deflects weapons that are meant to harm you. This shield here is God's maximum protection. And where in the New Testament did God talk about armor? Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And as Christians, we need to read these verses. And we need to put on what these verses say every single morning. Don't leave your home without your protection. Don't wake up and think that you can do on your own. Because when we do that, we're telling God, just moving him aside. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 reads, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We're to stand. We're to stand. We're not to crumble, we're not to fall. We're to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield. So we see again, God mentioned shield, maximum protection. The shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We should be putting on those armors of God. And if you read the verses, not one piece of that armor is for the backside. We're not to retreat. We run to God for refuge, for safety and protection. Think about David. He lost everything. Who else in the New Testament proclaimed that he lost everything? Paul did. Paul was a man of power, being a Pharisee. Philippians 3:7-8. Paul says these things, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." What did he lose? Worldly things. What did he gain? Heavenly things. He gained a relationship with Christ that surpassed everything and anything that he had already had. Everything we go through is temporary. And the temporary could last months, it could last years. And when we think about that, we don't feel it is temporary, do we? Because we just want it over with. But in the end, it's still temporary because our eternity is with God in heaven. Paul said this in Philippians 3:20. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We're just passing through. It's like traveling to Florida. You're passing through 10 different states to get there, right? We're just passing through here to get to heaven. Trying to live our lives as close as we can to Christ. Fear not. Don't fear what God can take care of for you. I take fear and I take worry and I almost make them the same thing. We're not to worry, because worry becomes sin. Because when we worry, we're not trusting God. We're only trusting in ourselves. And I don't know about you, when I trust in myself, I usually fall flat on my face. And it hurts. But when I trust God, he pulls me through. Think about when you guys have accepted Christ. However long time ago that was. For me, it's been 22 years now. And how easy it is to forget how God has pulled us through so many different things. I can give you example after example after example of how Christ pulled me through things. But at the time I was going through them, I'm like, nope, no way. No way are you going to get me through this. This is beyond you. Are you kidding me? What is beyond God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And when we lose sight of that, we rob ourselves. We rob ourselves of the blessing of a wonderful relationship because we're putting ourselves in front of God. But when we put God front and center in our life, what's a little speed bump? What's a little pothole? Yeah, it might do a little damage, but God will fix it. He'll fix it. You just have to have faith and trust in him that he will. Psalm 65. I loved it. I love Psalm. Psalm is probably my favorite book of the Bible to read because it's very encouraging. Because David talks about all the things that he went through in the book of Psalm. Psalm 65, verses 1 and 2. "Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. And to you the vow shall be performed." I'm sorry, guys, that is not... I'm sorry, Psalm 62. I apologize. Psalm 62, 1 and 2. "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation." We cannot save ourselves. We cannot beg our way. We cannot buy our way. We cannot plea our way. We cannot anything our way into heaven except through salvation. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. If you read the book of Psalm and you read all the chapters, you will see David refer to God as a deliverer, rock, and shield continually in these 100 plus chapters of the book. He is my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved. We should not be moved from God. We shouldn't live our lives in fear. There is nothing to fear if we live out Isaiah 41:10. The first part of that is a commandment. The rest of that verse is a promise from God as long as we follow the first two words of fear not. The rest of that verse is a promise. And we know that God is not capable of breaking his promises to us, correct? He's just not. Because if you break a promise, that makes you a sinner. And we know that God is not capable of that. So hang on tight. Like I was telling you guys earlier, when we look back and we see how God has gotten us through things, sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we lose sight of it because sometimes we think that we were the ones who got us through it. And I've had people ask me, how do I differentiate when is something of God and when something is not of God? Well, as a Christian, I don't differentiate. I say everything is of God for me. Especially the blessings. Because if I fix something on my own without calling someone, trust me, I did not do that. Okay? Trust me. If God put a power tool in my hand and I fixed something in my house, that was not of Kevin. There is only one source and one strength that is of, and that was of God. God gave me the ability to do it. God gave me the courage to go and do it and stop fearing things. So yes, I don't differentiate. I believe all good things have come from him for me. And that's how, if we look at life that way and we give honor and glory to God that he deserves, the more we do that, the more he becomes front and center in our lives. Because it doesn't become about us, it becomes about him. And he only created us for one reason. And that was to glorify and honor him through a relationship through his son, Jesus Christ. I love Psalm 136. Has anyone here ever read Psalm 136? I love Psalm 136. And we are going to read Psalm 136. And we are going to read all 26 verses. And I'm not going to break down these verses, but I want you guys to see the theme, the five words that God uses at the end of every verse. And when you're going through a difficult time and you're questioning where God's at, come read this chapter. Psalm 136, verse 1 reads, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever." What does his mercy endure? Forever. Forever is forever and ever and ever. Continue in verse 2. "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever." And if you question this, go to the book of Genesis. Go to the first chapter of Genesis. "The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever." Now we're in the book of Exodus. "And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever." See the theme? Do you see how the psalmist is pointing out? And we'll keep reading this. But do you see how the psalmist is pointing out how great God is and how God delivered the Israelites from Egypt? His mercy endures forever. "With a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, the king of Amorites, for his mercy endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever, a heritage to Israel his servant, for his mercy endures forever, who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever, who remembered us in our lowly state. You can put yourself right in that verse. God doesn't forget about us. God knows where we're at in our lives. God knows your heart. But yet, he remembers us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies. How many of us have been rescued from our enemies? An enemy might not be a person. An enemy could be something that we've dealt with, an addiction, anxiety. There are different things that we have that are enemies. And yet, he rescued us from our enemies if we run to him as a refuge and don't try to conquer things on our own. Who gives food to all flesh. There's another promise. God will take care of us. For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. For his mercy endures forever. So I ask you, what is temporary now after you read these 26 verses? Because at the end of every verse, we are reminded that his mercy endures forever. And we can take hold of that, and we can hold on to it very tightly. Or we can just glance over it and read it and move on. The choice is ours. I choose to hold on to it tightly. Especially with the things that I have gone through in my own life after salvation. I can replace verses 10, 11, 12, and 13, and 14, and I can place my own trials and circumstances in those 14 verses and see how God split the Red Sea for me to go through it and not be fearful of my enemies. You remember what the Israelites were in Exodus as they approached the Red Sea and they saw Pharaoh's army in the back? What were they? They were scared. Why would God lead them out of Egypt, and lead them to their destruction at the Red Sea? What point would that have been for God to have done such a thing? Why do we doubt God when we know that he can pull us through absolutely anything? Without Jesus Christ in our lives, all of this is void. If you don't have Jesus in your life and you're overcoming fear, you're overcoming it on your own. But I promise you it won't last. If you think that you can beg your way and pay your way into heaven, it isn't going to happen. If you try to obtain a relationship with Jesus Christ any other way except through accepting him as your personal Savior, it won't happen. Jesus said, in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall come unto the Father but through me. But through me is through his salvation. His sacrifice on that cross was for us sinners, individuals such as myself, who was not worthy of that sacrifice. But yet God the Father found us all worthy of it as long as we accept it as truth. John 3:16, we all know the verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." How many of us are willing to give our own child for someone else? No one. How many of us would leave, if we were a king, leave our throne? Leave the power of being a king and to be subject to what Jesus was subjected to for us? I'm thinking not many of us would have done that. But yet God did it for us. He did it so that we can have a relationship. He did it so that we wouldn't live our lives in fear. He did it so that we wouldn't live our lives in distress. He did it so we can live our life in joy, praising and worshiping the God who created everything, including you and me. The God who says at the end of every verse in Psalm 136 that his mercy endures forever. The God who said in Psalm 103:12 that he will forgive every sin as far as the east is to the west. What great promises we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it goes so far beyond just the forgiveness of sins and the eternity in heaven. There is so much more to our relationship with Christ that sometimes we take for granted. And then when we take it for granted, we miss out. Everything we go through is temporary. And I'll keep saying that because you have to believe it. It's all temporary. And again, if you just take a little look back from when you accepted Christ to where you are today, you will see how God has pulled you through. And it was not of yourself. As David acknowledged my strength, he was not acknowledging his strength, but God's strength that got him through. And that's what we have to do as Christians. We can't worry about the world. We can't fear what might happen. We don't know. But we know who's in control, and he's the God who sits on his throne today. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And we need to take as tight hold to that as we possibly can. Go through something difficult, glorify God. Go through something great, glorify God. Glorify God in all circumstances of your life, good or bad. I challenge you to do that. It's not easy to say that my God is good when I'm going through something hard, is it? Because sometimes we question, where is God at? And God's saying, I'm right behind you, waiting for you to put me forward. What an awesome God we serve. What an amazing, powerful God we serve. And yet we think we can do better than him sometimes. What foolish human beings we are. But we have such a loving God that when we turn our hearts and our lives back to him, he opens us with wide open arms, ever loving us, taking us right back in. What an amazing God we serve. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are missing out on the greatest relationship that's ever been given to us. A better relationship than you have with your spouse, if it's a good one, your parents, your children, whatever great relationship you have in your life, Jesus Christ is beyond that. Jesus Christ promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He also said in Isaiah 41:10, "For he will be with us." As long as we live out the first two words of the verse that says, fear not. It's a commandment. To have Christ in our lives is peace. It's joy. It's to have a rock. It's to have a shield. It's to have a deliverer. And there's probably 100 names for God. And we should lean on every single one of them that the Bible mentions. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. You want to be inspired? You want the perfect self-help book? Read God's Word. Read Psalm. Read the trials that David went through and how God delivered him from them. Psalm 136 created everything. His mercy endures forever. No matter how we see what we're going through, if we see Christ and God in it, we'll get through it. Because I heard Pastor Charles Stanley say this a couple months ago in one of his sermons. He says, the storms of life are inevitable. But he said, the one who gets us through it is immovable. And the one who gets us through the storms of life is Jesus. Don't be like Peter when he was given the opportunity to walk on water. How amazing would that have been? Anybody ever tried to walk on water here? You're going to fall right in, I promise you. And he was doing it until he took his eyes and his heart off of him, right? And then he started to sink in his fear. Jesus should have yelled, "Fear not," because it's a commandment. If Peter didn't have fear of the storms and the water and the waves crashing around him, if he'd lived out the commandment of fear not, he could have walked right to Jesus on that water. But he didn't. We can live a life of no fear. Because the minute fear starts to come in, we give it to God. We give it to him. Whatever it might be, just give it to him. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, and this is for anyone here or anyone listening, you are missing out on the greatest relationship. Friends will turn their backs on you. Friends might not be there when you need them. Loved ones might not be there when you need them. But I promise you, Jesus will be. I encourage everyone today to reflect on their relationship with Christ. And looking back from when you accepted him to where you are today with him, and how your walk has progressed or your walk has slowed down, and seeing how God pulled you through it. I know for a fact for the first 8 years of my salvation, I wasn't involved in a church. So anything that I got through those first 8 years of my life, I thought it was of me. But when I've looked back on them in the past few years, I call myself a fool to think that, because I'm robbing God of his glory. Because although I wasn't walking with him, he was still walking with me. I'll give you guys a great example and I'll finish here. As many of you know, Matthew, my oldest son, I can't believe he's going to be 18 in September. Holy smokes. Matthew had a fear of thunderstorms. And I'm talking like a fear where he would turn as white as a ghost when he'd hear those messages that come across the TV, or when he'd hear the messages on the radio station of we were in the car. And there was one time when he was down in South Carolina without Louisa and I, and he was down there with his grandparents. And as many of you know, storms in South Carolina can be a lot more harder than they are up here. And a storm come running through, and he panicked and got scared and ran to the bedroom and he hid. And it's Pop-Pops. Whew. I didn't know this story until last week. His Pop-Pops went to him. And anybody knows my father-in-law, he was a big teddy bear. And he grabbed Matthew by the hand. And he goes, "Matthew," he called him Papa. He goes, "Papa, come with me outside." And as that storm would come running through, he put him on the front porch. And he showed him that that storm couldn't cause him harm. He showed Matthew, through God, how he can overcome his fear. And Matthew said last week, he goes, "And my Pop-Pops told me I'm going to have a lot of storms in my life. But as long as my heart and my eyes are focused on Jesus, I will get through them." That is the key thing as Christians. We have to keep our eyes and our heart focused on him. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I said it once, I said it twice, I said it three times already, you're missing out on the greatest relationship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you so much for your word and for the promises that are in your word, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you will always be with us, Father. Lord, I thank you for the promises of Psalm 136, for your mercy endures forever, Lord. But Lord, right now I lift anyone up who's either here or watching online, Father, who does not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I ask God that you speak to their hearts. Lord, you tell them what you've spoken today is truth. Lord, convict them, Father. Show them, Lord, that they are in need of a Savior and forgiveness of their sins, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that if anyone is willing to accept you, Lord, that they will surrender their heart and life to you. Lord, acknowledging your sacrifice on the cross. Acknowledging, Father, that you rose again after 3 days. And acknowledging, Father, that you sit at the right hand on the throne of heaven, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that today someone, Lord, will seek you out and hear your words, Father, and accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray this prayer, God, and the prayers of the heart, not of the mind, Lord. I pray, Father, for anyone here who does not know you, Lord, that they just say these words, God, in their heart with sincerity. Lord, forgive me of my sins, for I am a sinner in need of salvation. Lord, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, dying on that cross for all of my sins, Father. And Lord, today I give my life and surrender all to you. Father, I pray, God, that your word goes out and that we as Christians, Lord, lift you up. And we glorify and honor you in all that we say and do so others can see Jesus Christ through us. And Lord, that we live out Isaiah 41:10, the first two words of fear not. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I glorify and I honor you in your powerful name. Amen.